Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 4. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me. I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it'll be all yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they replied, "Oh, we're able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant. It is for those for whom it has been prepared." Oh, when the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. For whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks, Conley. I want to talk this morning about the Texas Rangers. Not the baseball team, because they're terrible. Go Astros. I want to talk about the Texas Rangers, the oldest law enforcement in North America. Not Texas, North America. They were started in 1823 to help assist the settlers in Texas. And we learned a lot about the Texas Rangers growing up, which all, for me, as an eight-year-old, came to a head in a show that was super popular in the 90s called Walker, Texas Ranger. Any fans of this show? Raise your hand. Oh, great. Fantastic. Ooh, a clap from Gabe. That's great. Walker, Texas Ranger walked so that Yellowstone could run. Is the truth. The show starred none other than Chuck Norris in a cowboy hat, fighting crime with his partner Trudette, driving around in trucks, showing off the cool Texas Ranger badge. And Chuck Norris did martial arts throughout the show. So it was the only show that combined yee-haw with hi-ya in the show. And in every show, Chuck Norris would perform a roundhouse kick that would be played in slow motion like four times. And it was absolutely epic. My older brother Ken and I were obsessed with the show. We'd be in the living room of our house wearing cowboy hats, karate chopping one another, doing roundhouse kicks, driving my mother mad. And one year, I called my dad this week, called my brother to try and get their help. I was only eight when this happened, but I was like, Didn't we meet Chuck Norris? Didn't this happen? And my older brother remembered a lot more than I did. So my dad was gifted tickets to a celebrity tennis tournament in Houston. And we went into the city to see this, and Chuck Norris was there. Walker, Texas Ranger was in the stands. And there was like former presidents and like really important people, but all we cared about was Walker, Texas Ranger. And my older brother and I were absolutely fanboying in this moment. And I remember asking my dad, you know, we gotta go see him. My dad was like, stay calm. You gotta be cool. You gotta approach him really chill. And he was like kind of guiding us. And so we went up to him and we said, we're huge fans. You know, we love Walker, Texas Ranger. And he's like, oh, he couldn't have been nicer. And he said, we approached him and said, grant us an autograph, because this is before phones had cameras on them. And he said, sure, what do you want me to sign? And we hadn't thought that far ahead. So I very nervously was like, will you sign my shirt? And just lifted my shirt up to him. And he was like, yeah, I'm super uncomfortable, but sure, I'll sign your shirt. And he signed my shirt, Walker, Texas Ranger. And it was one of the coolest moments of my life. The next day at school, I went into school wearing that shirt and was showing it off to everyone. I was the most annoying second grader at Lamar Elementary. I was going to at the lunch table, and I was like, oh, I don't know if you heard, but you know, Walker, Texas Ranger basically deputized my brother and I. I went up to my teacher and was like, if you need any help, if you feel like you need protection throughout the day, let me know. I'd be happy to roundhouse kick someone. And then like tipped my cowboy hat to her, ma'am, you know, as I walked away. We were so excited about this. We were raving about meeting Charles Norris, the Chuck Norris, so ready to show off the privilege of being in his presence, the power, the glory of meeting Walker, Texas Ranger. Our story this morning begins with two brothers on a quest for power, on a quest towards Jesus, approaching Jesus, James and John, the sons of thunder. And there's something about their gall, their audacity that Jesus clearly likes. They're a part of his inner circle, but they approach Jesus and rather boldly say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever it is we ask, right? A blank check. And Jesus responds, as Connolly just read, what is it you want me to do for you? What can I do for you? And they say, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Give us the most powerful seat. Grant us your autograph. We are your biggest fans. And in their defense, they're coming to the right person, right? They want to rub shoulders with Jesus. They believe in the power of the Son of God. Their personal hopes and dreams are invested in the Son of God. They are ambitious for the reign of God. But they think that the reign of God, the power of God, is to climb the ladder up towards his throne, to sit at his right and left hands. And I kind of understand where the brothers are coming from in this moment. In our culture, we are familiar with climbing the ladder, right? We want to be powerful. We want to rub shoulders with the elites, right? We want to be with those who have influence, the movers and the shakers. This is, in many ways, the American dream, that a nobody could come here and turn into a somebody, right? We approach this movement up toward power with the same language of these brothers. We want you to do for us whatever it is we ask for you. Jesus, grant us this. Chuck Norris, grant us your autograph so that we can be like you, so that we can feel powerful, so that we can be lifted up to the level of Walker, Texas Ranger. When the devil is in the desert with Jesus, he offers the second temptation to Jesus, the temptation of power. And we're told that the devil leads Jesus up to this high place and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil says to him, to you, I will give all of these kingdoms. All you have to do is give me my due. If you worship me, it'll all be yours. To which Jesus responds, worship the Lord your God only and serve only him. serve only him. The first line of the second temptation, the devil takes Jesus up to this place of power. Jesus, though, seems really interested in going down, in a downward mobility of powerlessness, to serve, to become even a slave, he says to these brothers. Debbie Thomas writes of this moment, she says, James and John seek glory by privileging themselves. Do for us, grant us. Jesus epitomizes glory by privileging others. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I embrace true power and the powerlessness of service? Perhaps Jesus knows what we all know, what many of us have to learn the hard way. It's that earthly power distorts. It changes the way that we see things, changes the way that we operate, because when we taste that thin air of power, even if briefly, even if we meet Chuck Norris only for a moment, we can get drunk on that. And all of a sudden, we're running around in our elementary school holding up our shirt saying, I met Walker, Texas Ranger, and I'm better than you, right? Having that feeling of power, of glory, it changes us into name droppers, right? And clout chasers. I was there and you weren't. And I can prove it to you with this photo of when I met that person. Abraham Joshua Heschel writes, our concern is not how to worship in the catacombs, but how to stay human in the skyscrapers. Maybe that's what Jesus is protecting his disciples from. In verse 38, after these brothers make this request, he says to them, you do not know what you are asking for. It almost has the air of what Jesus says on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Maybe that's what Jesus is protecting them from, because he knows things are not what they seem. When the other 10 hear about this, they attack James and John, and they start to argue with them. And Jesus gets them together to try and settle them down. And he says that you have observed how godless rulers throw their weight around. And when people get a little bit of power, how quickly it goes to their head. It's not going to be that way with you, Jesus says. Whoever wants to be great must become your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. This is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served. A lot of what I hear in the church as a pastor, even in the name of service, sounds like James and John. It sounds like my brother and me. Do for us. Grant us. Pastor, here is what I want to do for the church. Here's my gifts and graces and what's going to make me feel fulfilled. I had an email recently from somebody telling me of something they wanted to do, and I emailed back and said, you know, I don't think this is going to work right now. And they said, oh, I'm just letting you know. And I was like, great, so we're done here. Thanks for letting me know of what you're going to be doing, rather than asking, right? Rather than asking, what is it that I can do for the church or for God? And all of a sudden, service is about us and not about God. Jesus asks. He doesn't tell. What is it that you want me to do for you? How can I serve others? What is the need? Help me understand. And you know who embodies this well? And he was, I'm sure, very uncomfortable with this in the first service. I did call him this week and asked if I could do this, and he very begrudgingly agreed. It's Mark Boomgarden. So Mark is incredible at this. I remember when I was the worship leader, Mark came up to me, you know, almost, you know, 8 years ago and said, I don't know if you have any needs in the band, but here's the instruments I play, and I'm happy to serve if you ever need me, and if not, that's totally fine too. And you've seen him play. Today he was playing acoustic guitar, he plays pedal steel, he plays bass, he plays electric. He is willing to meet whatever need there is that week, and if there's not a need, great, don't use me. He also told us that, hey, I'm really good with my hands, and we said, great, will you build us a backdrop? He built this backdrop. Right? He also serves now on our board of trustees. He's just ready and willing. His wife, Sam, is the same way as well. She, when they came in to recloth some of this backdrop, she noticed that our rug was pretty dirty. It's actually a little bit dirty right now. I need to do something about that. But she noticed this, and she didn't like it, so she went and got a carpet shampooer and shampooed our carpet. Wasn't asked to do that. Just did it. In fact, didn't even tell me that she did it. I found out about it later. Sam is running our live stream today. She serves in our live stream. She's a team captain on Sunday mornings. She's often in between service, after service, helping reset communion, helping put things away. Never asks, just willing to serve. Sees that there's a need and meets it. Last semester, when we were writing letters to our college students, Sam works at Chick-fil-A. She said, hey, I have access to these meal cards. I'd love to donate them. And it was awesome. She saved the church $400 in donating this. And then she showed up to help us write the letters. And Mark and Sam hosted the college students in their house last summer. For the Boom Gardens and for Jesus, it is not due for us. Grant us this privilege, but it's a question that epitomizes glory by serving others. What can I do for God? What can I do for the church? To be powerful in the kingdom of God is to move up, is not to move up, sorry. The paradox of Jesus, it gets all of us, right? It's not to move up, it's to move down. And that's why it's so hard to understand the kingdom of God as one turned away from the tall worldly kingdoms of this earth and to move away from them in the name of love and service to others. One of my favorite poets is named Malcolm Geat. Malcolm was the artist in residence at the Divinity School when I was at Duke. And for a year, he just like hung out. Drank, wrote poetry, played songs. We would get together and jam. He's this he has this incredible accent. He looks kind of like a Welsh Santa Claus. He's just like a true traveling vagabond. And he wrote an amazing collection of poetry in which he wrote a poem about each of these temptations of the devil. And the one about the second temptation has always stuck with me. I read it this week with the young adults, and I want to read it for us now. It's called All the Kingdoms of the World. So here's the deal, the devil says, and this is what you get. The penthouse suite with world-commanding views, the banker's bonus, and the private jet. Control and ownership of all the news. An in to that exclusive 1% who know the score, who really run the show with interest on every penny lent, and sweeteners for cronies in the know. A straight arrangement between me and you, no hell below or heaven high above. You just admit it and give me my due and wake up from this foolish dream of love. But Jesus laughed. You are not what you seem. Love is the waking life. You are the dream. Amen.